KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston. ESPN. ESPN 97.5. This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Ho! Oh, what up, H-Town? How's everybody doing? Tuesday, Barry Laminack's here for the next three shows nightly or daily. Yeah. 1 to 4 p.m. What up?
What's up, man?
How are you? I'm all right. How are you? How's the weekend?
It was great.
Excellent.
Great time.
Excellent.
You?
You
were a tad sensitive on Sunday.
Let's just get
it out of the way.
Yeah, I'm going to apologize on the air for it because I had a very rough weekend because of my Badgers and Packers.
Yeah.
And we had dialogue on Twitter at a time when I was
basically, caught you in a bad moment.
Yeah, I was contemplating doing some destructive things around my house that I shouldn't do, but it was because the Packers were awful after the Badgers lost a heartbreaker. And so, yeah, I probably could have refrained from the amount of
vitriol.
Let me put it this way. I could have pushed away from the keyboard.
Yeah.
That probably would have been a smart thing to do, but I've never been considered to be a guy that people look at and go, there is a brain science. So I, you know.
Yeah. I get it. It happens. I was just having a little fun and you didn't like it.
No, I mean, my big thing is I said, you know, early in, and I'll be.
Yeah, clearing the people on what we're talking about.
So early in this, shall we say, the fetal stages of this show.
Yes.
I had some pretty firm takes on some different topics. One looks pretty solid gold, which is that Jay Cutler's just not very good.
Okay.
And I got picked apart a little bit by AJ on that one, driving home one day. And then I also said that I thought the SEC was down.
Okay.
And that was based on the first couple weeks of the season, what I'd seen, teams that I thought that were perennial powerhouses in the SEC were down. But I stood by it.
Yeah.
And AJ got on that one as well. And people started, you know, back and forth about it. And it's like the never, it has nine lives. It won't die. So I basically still stand by that.
Yeah.
But it then.
Despite the fact that there's eight teams.
I said, which
25.
We had a call last week.
Well,
and I said
I'm just telling
them
what happened.
Yeah. So we had a call last week where they wanted to bring it up now. And I said, don't bring it up now because the SEC is about to play. All the teams are going to start playing each other and it's going to sort itself out even more. So I said, we can talk at the end of the year. And then fast forward to you showing me the latest polls at a time when I was a tad bit on edge. And we ended up with a back and forth that probably could have been done on text messages.
Oh, no.
A lot
are you
easier.
Kidding? But, that was so fun.
Everybody had fun. Then Trap chimed in. Then Liebeschock
chimed
in. Yeah, you
went and got backup, and then you turned Liebeschock against me.
And I appreciate it.
It was 3-on-1.
But I didn't even ask for the backup, but my bouncer man, Prince Fielder / Suge Knight, Travis Johnson, came in guns blazing and had my back, which I appreciated.
Which was great. All three of you being wrong against me was
so
awesome.
So here we go. And that's where where it all goes spiraling back to
But let me just tell you, Joel, I understand because Sunday on Houston game day.
What was that about?
Liebeschock brought up Dak Prescott and how ridiculous the conversation is that he should be considered in the MVP. And then I chimed in and said, no, I don't think that's ridiculous. He's the quarterback, the head of one of the best teams in the NFL. And then I went and looked at the stats and quickly retracted that statement because he was not having a stellar statistical season, even though they're winning. And let me tell you how much hell I caught. All day
on Twitter,
all on the show, on Twitter. There, I walked in, someone mentioned it to me. I get it.
But you know what's cool about that? It just shows people are listening.
Yeah, yeah.
That at least is the relief in all of this. Is that when we keep saying we're building it, and people are when we build it, they're coming and they're staying. And now we're saying tell a friend because actually people are listening, and that's a good thing. So the stupid things come out of our mouth.
Yeah, you'll never live down that with me, and I'll never live down Dak being an MVP candidate.
Yeah, but you have so many on me.
But,
you do the Joel thing.
Well, that's just –
By the way,
that.
On that note, I want to tell you guys – I meant to tell you guys this because Kurtlow is a guy that probably should take what we're saying to heart.
Right.
And that is never tweet what you're thinking, especially when you're Kurtlow. Because Memphis, and again, the tree fell in the woods this weekend. And we mentioned this yesterday that Memphis actually played a double overtime game against the Rockets Saturday night. But that meant the return of J.B. Bickerstaff and Chandler Parsons. He went out on Twitter and said the all-time, I think it was the all-time, but the all-time worst NBA head coach slash assistant coach comes back to Houston today.
What?
In J.B. Bickerstaff.
No.
And I went, you know what, man? Now you got
Come
me fired
on,
up. Yeah, exactly. Because I got a guy that I worked with for all those years. J.B.'s one of the top assistant coaches in his league.
I was going to say, I mean, head coach might be
right.
debatable, but as an assistant,
right.
J.B. was one of the best.
And his dad, legendary yep. head coach in Bernie. And I just went, you know what, man? You got me. And then he started, retweeting it and kind of retracting it. And I was like, Chief, you know what? You do still have a following, and people take credibility seriously. And especially if they don't listen to our show and know what he says when he's on a phone line. But
right.
when he tweets, and I was just like, then he went all day Sunday on religious tweets. So I thought maybe he had a literal come to Jesus moment, and we just didn't know about it.
Nice. Yeah, you got to be careful, man. You can't. I think you you can't be like if you're upset. Twitter, social media is the worst place to be. Like if I'm
yeah.
if people are picking on me and I'm in a bad mood, I just stay away. I can't because I mean a lot of my friends are comics, so I just have to avoid Facebook at all costs because if I'm in a bad mood, there's no doubt that several of them are going to say things to me that are going to piss me off, and I just have to stay back. I stay away.
And it can be so hard to do because like yeah. you know you've got like the pot's on the stove and it's boiling. I
oh,
mean
yeah.
you are fired up. And you would love, I mean, look, like, you know, when we've had a couple of the cowardly keyboard confidants that started to do things on Twitter like they do on text message.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, and you saw it. I mean,
oh,
all
yeah.
of a sudden, I just finally had enough. And sometimes they pick on Keenan and Trap on those days, too. And I'm just like, okay, time out. You have no idea what you're talking about. But then I make the mistake, and then Travis will stop me and go, you do realize the guy has 7 followers. And I'm like, yeah. And then the guy ends up blocking me because I got him on a couple. And I'm just
yeah.
like, all right,
oh,
you know what?
Let me tell you, I got blocked on Sunday by some lady because I like to go to Chick-fil-A and she didn't want me to. She
because it's Sundays?
No, because she said that Chick-fil-A hates gays and lesbians.
What?
And if you buy a chicken sandwich, you hate gays and lesbians was her point. And I'm like, no, sweetie, I buy a chicken sandwich because I love delicious chicken sandwiches. This is not political at all.
Have you been to Chick-fil-A?
I mean, yeah. Have you seen how chubby I am? I love food. I don't hate anyone.
I didn't know where he was going there because he started with what she said. And he said, I buy. And I thought he was going, wait a minute. What Mary's going to let us know on his personal life, but he buys chicken sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
I thought buy was coming out a different way. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I was just saying, you know, I miss. Should I do Roger Clemens?
Huh?
I misheard.
I misheard. people get sensitive, man. You can't take too much of what you hear on social media too serious. Although in my case, I'm lucky because Dak Prescott went out and had an MVP type game.
He did,
and looked like he should be in the conversation. And unfortunately for you,
yeah,
the SEC
painful.
Just started adding people to the top 25, so it really didn't work out for you. But
yet, see, it's a long season. And by the
it
way,
is.
They're all stockpiled between 15 and 25.
And can I?
The
yeah.
toilet is a lot closer than the penthouse.
Can
I'm
I just
tell
you that it's hard for me to make a case for Ole Miss and LSU?
I was giving you that data.
But even so, still 5 out of 14. That's still more than any other conference. So
is it more than any other conference?
We can do it on the other side. And
Big
Ten's break.
We got to count them up because the Big Ten's got 7.
It is. I have the list. I'll read them.
Yeah, because Wisconsin is up there along with.
Obviously,
Ohio State. There's 4 in the top 10 in the Big Ten right now.
I was going to say,
Nebraska.
Right now, I'll tell you that the best conference, in my opinion, based on the numbers, is the Big Ten.
Yeah, there you go. And I don't ever argue that. But I will, and I don't want you guys to argue either, but you want to argue with us. We're here till 4 o'clock. Barry's here for the next 3 days. 713-780-ESPN. You can text us, and Barry always has his finger on the pulse of that. You can tweet us, which we all see. And then you can call us and be a part of the show. And yesterday, we started with the whole who should be quarterback, Dak or Tony Romo. And I'll throw one out for you right off the top just to see what you guys think. Jay Cutler's a free agent at the end of the year. You know my boy Jay. All right? So you got Jay Cutler, who's a free agent. You got Tony Romo, who's probably going to be on the market, if not sooner, depending on what happens in Dallas. And you got your boy Brock Osweiler. If you're the Houston Texans and you have decision-making power, because you all think you do, I want to hear from you. Who would you rather have start the season for your Houston Texans next year? Brock Osweiler, Tony Romo, Jay Cutler. Talk amongst yourselves. We're here, ESPN 97.5.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Barry Laminek and Joel Blank till 4 o'clock. Nick Shirara behind the glass. We always do this at least once or twice so you know how to reach us. You can text us at 713-780-ESPN. Also call in that number to join the show. And if you want to reach us on Twitter, at Barry is funny is Barry's handle. At Joel isn't is mine. No, it's not. At Pac-Man Joel is mine. And at No Hit Nick is Nick Shirara. So you can reach us and have a direct inline and inroad to the show. I threw out before the break a question that I would like you guys to all respond to as we discuss this amongst ourselves and hope that you would like to join the discussion. But we like to have these thought-provoking topics that like to keep you guys on the fingertips of your computers, as your phones, as your Twitter accounts, and you chime in with your opinions on things that we throw out there. So I threw out before the break, Tony Romo, there might be a situation going down in Dallas. Since Barry's MVP candidate is impressive in Dak Prescott, there's a chance that Tony Romo will not find a home in Dallas in the near future. And for Texans fans who have been struggling with Brock Osweiler and his lack of production, except for three drives at the end of the game, would you take Tony Romo, Jay Cutler, or Brock Osweiler to be your starting quarterback to lead your Houston Texans in the first game of the regular season next year? Who would you choose? I mean, again, we talked about the sample size on Brock Osweiler. Was it big enough? Some say yes. A lot say no. And a lot are questioning things based on performance to this point in the season. Although, the other question that behooves asking is, did he salvage everything by putting together those three drives, two in regulation, one in overtime, and allowing your Texans to salvage victory from the jaws of defeat against the Colts on Sunday night down on Kirby? So with that, I will open up the forum to you boys. And Barry, you first. Who would you like to see next year?
Well, out of those three choices,
that's all you get.
Okay, I would. Are we talking sign? What are we talking, like signing long term? Because that makes a difference too, right?
I would say for the sake of conversation and argument, we are not talking long term deals with any of them because hopefully Rick Smith learned his lesson.
Right.
I would say that these are going to be short term contracts.
Couple years.
Yeah, as a quick fix to what they still believe is a very talented potential Super Bowl caliber team with the exception of the quarterback position.
Sure. So in other words, trying to get it in while JJ is still relevant.
I don't know what you're doing with what you're trying to get in, but yes.
Okay. I'm going to have to go Jay Cutler, which I know is probably going to surprise a few folks. But yeah. The reason is, I mean, Brock is young. He's 25, but he doesn't appear to be trending in a direction you want to see a quarterback going other than the last 2.5 minutes of the game. But you got to give it to him in those 2.5 minutes and that overtime. He showed you what he's capable of, but how long is it going to take him to be able to play like that consistency? Yeah. That's the concern. And if you're trying to win now, Brock seems to be one of those, you know what, let's groom him, and in the next couple of years, maybe he'll develop into a top 10 quarterback, maybe, but he's just not there right now. So I think if I'm trying to win a Super Bowl while J.J. Watt can still help, then you got to go Cutler because you can't count on Tony Romo to be on the field. He's Mr. Glass, essentially. Plus, he's 36. So if you're trying to win in the next 3 years, at least Jay Cutler, he gives you that experience that Brock doesn't have. He stays relatively healthy, and he's only 33 years old.
Nick?
I'm going to go with Romo. I was going to preface my statement by saying, hey, if we can leave the injury factor out of it.
No, you can't.
But
well, because Jay Cutler has an injured brain.
Well, and Jay Cutler, I mean, I just feel like Tony Romo
does. He has an injured other anatomical part that I can't say because it's actually the part of a female, but that's in my own opinion. Yeah, but Donald Trump could be able to fill in the blank there, if you know what I mean. But go ahead.
But, yeah, I mean, I just think Tony Romo will do better with what he has around him. I think Jay Cutler is more of a complainer. And I think when you want a quarterback to work with what you already have, I just feel like Tony Romo would produce. That's all. That's all. That's why I would pick Tony Romo.
All right. Who you got?
I'm going to take Romo. Yeah? I'm going to take Romo as much as he's from Wisconsin. And I should – I won't even say this, but I will. He and Kaepernick are two guys that I just – because Kaepernick killed the Packers for so many years, nothing to do with the political stuff. I've just never been a fan of either guy because they were arch rivals of the Packers, even though they're from Wisconsin. But Romo when you know we had a couple of guys, Josh and a couple of guys that are out there that are Cowboys fans that threw a lot of crazy stats at us. But it made me go back and look. Mm-hmm. And basically, when Tony Romo is healthy, his completion percentage and the things that he has done, and I know it's a big if, but they've been pretty impressive. So I think if you look for a veteran influence that can come in here and capitalize on Fuller and Hopkins on the outside, make sure the tight ends get the ball, but make sure that they have a balance between, you know, with the running game. And of course, a lot of this is on Bill O'Brien, but I think Bill O'Brien would have a lot more trust in a veteran like Tony Romo. Mm-hmm. I think Tony Romo could be the difference in you winning the division and, you know, either taking it in the shorts or getting through a Cincinnati only to take it in the shorts the following week and get you to win maybe two playoff games and maybe more. I think Tony Romo could make a huge difference. I'm still, obviously, you guys already know how I feel about Jay Cutler, but I really believe Romo's a guy that if healthy, and I know, again, it's a big if, but if Romo's looking for that opportunity to prove the Cowboys made the wrong decision too, I think he could be the guy.
I mean, I'm looking at games started, games played by Tony Romo. And you know what? Over the last 5 years, it's really not that bad. Actually, going back to 2011, starting from there, he played 16, 16, 15, 15, and then four. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that he's become so brittle now, and the injuries that he suffered, they keep reoccurring.
Like they're lingering.
And he's older now.
Yeah.
You know, back when he only played six games
you
in 2010. Yeah. When he played in 2010, he was a lot younger. 36 in NFL years is old.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that I wouldn't want to be counting on him long term.
And the thing is, you can't look at, and the Texans offensive line hasn't played badly. We know that the Cowboys offensive line is probably, I don't think any of us will argue, is the best in the league. But that doesn't matter because Tony still thinks he's 25 with the way he tries to run, yeah, which has got him in the trouble that he got into this year. So that's a big thing. Adam on Twitter says Jay Cutler hurt quite a bit also. Yes, and a lot of that is, again, self-inflicted, but that's because of the way he's played. But a lot of people believe that the same reason why he didn't excel in Chicago was the reason why he did excel in Denver. If he gets the right system and also the pieces around him, he can win. Now, I would say that, you know, when you had Martellus Bennett and you had, you know, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffries and Matt Forte and everybody around him in Chicago for a couple years, and that didn't work out, that's about as talented of a skill set that you can find to put around a quarterback in terms of top to bottom and all the skill positions, and they didn't even sniff it. I mean, that 1 year the Packers beat him in the NFC Championship game, but that they didn't have all those pieces back then.
I don't know that I agree with Jay Cutler always being hurt. I mean,
I know you've got the stats up, so you can probably.
He's played one season. With his first season, he started five games. Since then, the least amount of games he's played in was 10. So, I mean, relatively speaking, neither one of these guys have missed an exorbitant
amount.
Which was,
what, 2 years ago?
2011. Or, sorry, yeah, 2011. He played in 10 games. Since then, it's been 10, 15, 11, 15, 15. So he's missed a game a year, just about, except for the five games that he missed in 2013. But
Here's a good one. Ramiro throws in a wild card, right? Okay. How about Teddy Bridgewater? How about you put him in as another opportunity? You get a second chance at Teddy Bridgewater.
Now you're opening up to the field now. And I would take the field versus those three.
But in the case of Minnesota, kind of like what Dallas is going through right now, the Vikings are looking at a situation where if Bradford keeps going the way he's going, it's going to be hard for them to be able to sit Sam Bradford. They spent a first-round pick on him. So a lot of people in NFL circles have already said they went out getting Bradford with the thought process of he is going to be our guy. And, oh, by the way, if Teddy does recover fully and comes back, then we have a quarterback competition, which isn't a bad thing. One of those guys has to win. One of them has to lose, just like up in Big D. So, I mean, that's why I would throw him in the mix if you want to throw the wild card out there, because the Texans also had a pretty legitimate chance to take him in the draft a few years ago and passed on him. So whether you throw him in the mix or not, Nick and I both said Romo. You said Cutler.
Yeah.
And noticeably missing from that, no one picked Brock.
I think it's too much of an unknown. That's the problem.
Is it safe to say then that the sample size might not have been big enough to make an honest evaluation to throw that much money at
him? Well, I went back based on our pre-show meeting and some of the things you were throwing out, and I think it was Trapp that said something about they had seven deals in the works or something like that. I don't remember. But I went back and looked at, okay, what were their options? And, you know, there was a list of like 15 quarterbacks, and most of Sam Bradford was on the list. Drew Brees was on the list because he was a free agent.
Yep.
some of those were going to be realistic. Some of them weren't.
Right.
Right. Like, I don't think anyone expected Drew Brees to leave.
I think
New
more
Orleans.
Deals than not, the way I was thinking of it was, and just because of the way I know how kind of like, you know, front offices think when they're trying to set things up, is they're never going to limit themselves to one option. So I would think that more of those were directed towards the draft. We could move up into the top 10 to possibly get one of the first three. And then when Paxton Lynch slid all the way down, you could have either taken him with your own pick and or you could have made a trade to get a second pick. Those were the things I was thinking of, because you're right. I don't think anybody that was a free agent that was out there was intriguing.
No, Philip Rivers wasn't coming to you.
No, it would be like how you got Matt Schaub. It would be like, who has a backup, like a Jimmy Garoppolo or something like that.
And that's what they did. They went out and got the best backup available, basically.
Well, and there's another
one. That's another discussion.
I was going to say, and what does New England do? Does Jimmy Garoppolo and do the Patriots just say, Jimmy's our guy of the future, and he's going to have to pull the Aaron Rodgers and just wait till Brady rides off into the sunset, but when he does, the reins are his?
I don't know, man. I mean, the Patriots seem to be one of those ones that can fool people into taking the Matt Castles of the world, giving up draft picks.
Yeah, not just Matt Castle, by the way. Brian Hoyer, ring a bell? Yeah.
I just think that era's over. Players want to get paid now. They want to, I don't think Jim's going to.
Brian Hoyer, ring a bell? Because, by the way, that's a name that's ringing loudly because of his last 2 weeks in the NFL. This week, a Thursday night game against Green Bay. I pray that will stifle all that talk. For a lot of reasons, but we'll find out. Well, let me know what you guys think. We're here till 4. We want to know what you think. We want you to be a part of the show. We always say we do the national perspective on the local teams because we try to give you unbiased and unbashed. We just try to give you honest opinions on your team instead of trying to give you sunshine, rainbows, and smoke up your hiney. 713-780-ESPN. We're here till 4, and we will field your calls, your texts, and your tweets as we carry on with what is always an incredible show.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack in the studio. Nick Sharara behind the glass, and all of us with one particular notion in mind, that is to kick some ass, which we like to do on a daily basis. And for the next 3 days, it is Barry and Joel, and we are talking about a plethora of topics. We've thrown some things out for you to get your opinions, and oh, we love you because your opinions have been made known. And as Barry likes to do, he likes to keep his finger on the pulse of things that are prevalent within our shows. And so he has some tweets and some texts that we can share with you. At least those that are, are PG rated enough to share with you.
Yeah, I'm not retweeting Dr. Dre on 290's picture of Tony Romo, but let's just say if I did.
Good luck with this one.
I think you had it. You had it. Donald Trump might grab him.
He would know the exact
somewhere
noun.
Yeah.
To use. Let's
that was
put it that way.
That was a pretty stellar. I encourage you to tweet that out, Dr. Dre on 290, and I encourage everyone to go follow him and check out the little picture that he sent. It's pretty hilarious. All right, got some text. Somebody said, if eating Chick-fil-A means I hate gays and lesbos, then I don't want to love them. That was a. I'm sorry. Listen. It has. I told the lady before she blocked me. She said, you know.
Before she blocked
me. She did. She blocked me because I wouldn't take her side. Because she was like, well, every time you go and spend money there, you're supporting the hate of the LGBT community. And I'm like, no, I'm supporting my love of chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
I'm not supporting their hate. They were like, oh, well, they donate to right wings. A lot of businesses do that, and left wing. I'm not dying.
Just about the chicken.
I'm not basing my political life and death on a hill of chicken. I'm just not doing that. I love chicken sandwiches. That's it. That's all. That's no more. Somebody texted in, Romo will be their first choice. The way he gets injured is a big question, but that O-line won't protect him well enough. And most likely he'll get hurt. So that doesn't. Okay, Greg, we got you.
And Adam said Cutler missed 15 games between 2010 and 2015. And again, this year seems a bit brittle.
Well, like I said, I think I read his stuff earlier. He only had the 2010.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Whether or not Brock ends up working out or not, this is the bed we made. Now we got a lie in it. That's from 832. 409 said, there's only two QBs the Texans should have maxed out, and that was Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers. Problem is, I don't think that was going to happen, and I don't think anyone thought it was going to happen. But that might have been one of those deals that they were quote-unquote working on. But the reality of it is, you could have seven irons in the fire, but only a couple of them are really heating up.
And I will say this. there was someone out there back in the day that everybody would have said would have solved your quarterback problem and would have been available and wanted to come here and was their first choice and then was rejected by the organization in Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
And the Texans now and Gary Kubiak are always quick to brush it under the rug and say, never happened, not even close. People forget he came to this city. He was in town meeting with the Texans before he even met with the Broncos and basically identified this town. And I believe Mr. McNair's direct quote was, we don't need Peyton Manning because we have Matt Schaub. In retrospect, you might have wanted to kick the tires just a little longer on that one.
A couple more. Somebody, Wendy from the 806 said, what about Brandon Whedon? Oh, Wendy.
Oh, boy. As a baseball player, that didn't work out. Oh, never mind.
I'm certainly not adding Brandon Whedon to the mix.
No, of course not. But I just like your response. Oh, Wendy.
Bless your heart. No, I can't. I don't even think you should add Teddy Bridgewater.
Who was it
that said to add it? No, because you gave out three. You can't start adding to it after that just because someone suggested.
We know in multiple choice there's four options.
Yeah, the field. You should have added the field.
It doesn't have to be the field.
Absolutely.
No, it doesn't.
What are the relevant names that you threw out? You said Jay Cutler, who might be ushered out of Chicago, Romo, who may lose his job to Dak, and the current quarterback of the Texans, Brock. The fourth option should have been the field, which I would have taken. All right, what else we got?
That means you're a savage beast?
Just want Tom Savage? No. Is it me or ever since Romo was with Jessica Simpson, his career went downhill? All right, these are getting silly,
though. You know what? And it's crazy. And this is done by geographic region. I have people, including my mother-in-law, who firmly believe Aaron Rodgers is struggling because of Olivia Munn.
Yeah?
So it's out there. I mean, we heard the... And again, Nick, let's also be clear. You and I are not Romosexuals just because we answered what
Absolutely
we did
not.
To
Absolutely.
The answer. We just answered a question. For those of you that are more than passionate and maybe not realistic, as yesterday showed, about your love for Romo and the Romosexuality, different. But we both said we would go with Romo.
And I think it's good that Barry brought up that stat about him actually not missing that many games. I think it reminded me of him doing so well during the regular season and then kind of choking again more than anything
else. That's why Barry's the analytic Daryl Morey of the show.
I'm not the Daryl Morey. There's nothing wrong with having a few stats to support an argument. I don't base everything off of the stats. You got to use the eye test. But there's nothing wrong with if there's the misconception.
Daryl Barry has all the stats for us right here.
Daryl Laminack. There's nothing wrong with the misconception and pointing it out that, you know what, maybe he's not as brittle as we think based off of games played. But
Daryl Barry.
All right.
Just like Daryl Moore.
I'll own it, Joel.
See, and I have no choice but to own that as well. So there you have it.
All right, Wendy says she did like my response, though. She's like, LOL, love the response. Well, it's all right, Wendy. We love you. We need more women listening to this show. Please don't turn
it
out.
Yeah, no question about it. We're not just for guys only. It's not boys' club. We're open to, there's more seats in the living room, and you probably get a front seat because ladies first. We like to do that with the calls when you call in. So, Wendy, call in. We'll put you at the front of the line.
I'm going to need an explanation on what this living room is.
How come you've never? You don't listen. What we've always said is
I don't know what this is.
We've always
I
said
I keep hearing you bring it up, and I'm whether it be Joel's going crazy, like he's losing his mind.
Okay, so
telling people to
trap
sit
is it,
in the
trap
living
got
room.
In on it. Nick got in on it. When I said when we first started the show, what we really want to do here is it's whether you have, and it really has a new meaning now thanks to the presidential candidate. But we said whether it was in the locker room or the barbershop or the living room, it's where conversation happens, where it's not life and death. So it's not as serious as some people like to make it out to be. But it's entertainment and it's sports, and that's why sports is great. So we'll invite you into the living room. You can chime in, whether you ring the doorbell or you come in the front door, you have a call, whatever. And then based on your quality of participation, you can elevate your game to where you get a seat in the living room. So you can start out by getting in. But sometimes you're closer to the commode than you are the television. And then you could start on the floor. But if you have a couple of good calls. And these guys, and actually the listeners have taken to it because they're like, now do I get a chair? Now do I get this? Now do I get that? So they got it.
Wow. You guys really put a lot of thought into
that. We did. That's what we're trying to do with this show. And you just want to break it down. You
chair,
just
Barry.
Want to break it down and make fun of it.
I feel like I'm just on the back porch looking through
somebody
the window.
Yesterday we put someone closer to the commode and the back porch than the television because they had another bad call.
This is just weird. This is weird.
See, again, no idea but Barry's idea. That's fine.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying. I was like, why are we talking about? I never got it. Now you've explained it. Now I get it. That doesn't mean I don't have to like it, right?
Yeah, no. Hey, and Carl on Twitter said, by the way, he agrees with what I said about with the Olivia Munn versus Jessica Simpson. He said when Justin Verlander was struggling in Detroit, they talked about what's her name, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit model with the chesty one, the somebody blonde. Who's the Kate? Who's the Sports Illustrated? Nick, you should know this. You're single.
I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, that's what happened with Verlander. He was dating her. No. The Sports Illustrated.
I have no idea.
And again, Anthony on the flip side says you can't bust Brady's balls, and he's got Giselle.
Kate Upton.
There you go.
I guess somebody is now we're back on my voice again on the text lines.
Oh no,
them hating on the way I sound because somebody said, "Holy hell, is that Carlos Mencia on the radio? I don't sound like him. Stop it." Yeah, Tito!
By the way, we can vouch for the fact that he's so worried about taking other people's material and stuff. Carlos Mencia and Barry in the same comparison.
Never will.
Although we did say several times that we thought that what's his name? Gabriel Iglesias' voice was in our living room.
What?
There you have it. That's why you're in the living room, Bear. Hey, we're still going to get to this conference breakdown in the top 25.
Next segment, stay tuned.
We're going to get to it so you guys can figure out the conference-by-conference breakdown of how many teams they have in the top 25 at this particular moment, even though I've already said I will not address this again in terms of my take on it until after the season is over. Kevin, we see you calling. It's a topic we touched on yesterday, but we will bring you in as well. We have that and more, ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Shirara in the living room, because Barry just tuned in and the 411 on the living room. And by the way, I have to do this, because there's some that are good, and then there's some that just, they underinflate our show. Trevor tweeted in, "I still believe Tom Savage will have the best career out of anyone in that draft, Texans or not.
Stop it.
No.
Tom freaking Savage. Trevor, you just went from a rug in the living room to under the trash can on a Sunday afternoon after a Saturday night bender party we had with all kinds of mixed alcohol and fried food. And you know how the garbage can smells after that. That one, I can't buy into. And now in a couple years, you may be able to change our opinion, but I doubt it.
Don't fall into that trap. Boy, you guys on the text are full of hate and vitriol this morning.
Because they can hide. I tell you, that's cowardly keyboard confidence.
I feed on this, though. I love it.
Well, we know you feed on it. That's why we give it to you.
We got some hate on the line?
Yeah. Several people are reminding you that it was Kate Upton a little late on that. But someone said I sound like Big Chief from Street Outlaws, which I have no. Now I've got to look that up.
I would bet that there are several people on air at this station that have seen that show and know what it is. Yeah. I am not one of them either.
Somebody doesn't want to talk about the conferences, but you know what? It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen whether you like it or not. Yeah, that's why we're us and you're you.
That's right.
Otherwise, you would be us and we would be you, so to speak, right?
Yes.
That's as simple as I can break it down for you analytically.
Yeah.
What else you got?
That's it.
Before we get to the conferences.
I didn't read all the hate and all the vitriol.
All right, Kev, let's get it out of the way from Port Arthur in Cowboy Country. You want to talk about why Dak should start over Romo, which was yesterday's conversation, which we'll inject in today's show.
What's up, Joel? How you doing, Barry?
What's up, man?
We spoke a little bit yesterday, Joel, about this, and then you had a caller that called right after me and said that, oh, you can't give all the credit to Dak and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Well, I didn't have time to call back, so I'm calling back today.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, I think the number one reason that Dak should continue to start, and here it is.
Okay.
Number one, the quarterback is considered the leader of the team. He's supposed to engage, promote chemistry among the team, and Dak has done all of that. He's got a team of 52 other guys that are behind him every play of the game. When he makes a mistake, when he makes a great play, you see him engaged with the defense and the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the number one thing. If you take the chemistry that the team has away now, even with as good as Romo has been and as good of a leader as he's been, but it has been questioned at times, for a rookie quarterback to do this, I think you will kill the chemistry of the team. But not only, you have to think of the ramifications that it may kill the psyche of this young quarterback who's playing so well when you say,
but Kev,
man, I'm
those are
I'm
all
leading
points.
The team.
We made all those points for you after that caller. because we were quick to say that you're going to lose the locker room. Because as ex-players say, we asked Keenan last week, Travis said the same thing. You go with the hot hand. You just have to, because he's gotten you to that point, right? And I right. said, and I actually said that you take a guy that's on top of the world confidence-wise, and you maybe scorn him for life, let alone for the short term, because he says, what the hell else do I have to do and I lose this gig that I have done nothing but earn with the way I've performed? So, no, I hear what you're saying, and I think that based on what happened last week at Lambeau Field, I think they've answered the question for all of us. I just
one
don't
other
know.
Comment, if I may,
sure,
kind of a prelude to your conferences. The new rivalry, I think, of the SEC since Johnny Manziel came with A&M has been Texas A&M and the Aggies. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the Alabama Crimson Tide, the Aggies have been good, if not decent, and that game has not always lived up to the hype, but there have been quite a few close games there. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people are giving enough credit to the Aggies. You're sleeping on a team that has proven that they can run the football, and they have a great wide receiving core.
Okay.
Not to mention two of the best, if not the best, bookends on the end of a defensive line that could put a lot
Kev,
of pressure.
Kev, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you're a Longhorn fan. Okay, no, I'm not. Barry, I give you Kevin.
I'm an
Barry,
fan.
Kevin, I was kidding. I know.
Kevin,
I introduce you to Barry. Barry, I introduce you to
Kevin.
Kevin,
did you watch their performance last week, their tackling in open space? Did you see how bad it was? That's why you should be worried about them playing Alabama this week.
That's what practice is for.
Dude,
not to mention you were playing with a banged up Myles Garrett who only played 40% of the plays.
Dude, I'm telling you right now.
They've had a time to prepare. And not only are they running a spread offense, but they're also they've implemented a part of the pro offense to it, which a lot of teams that Alabama has faced don't do. And I think you really have to worry about Trevor Knight running the ball. If you look, when he pulls the ball and reads it correctly, he's going for 60 and 50-yard runs.
Now, okay,
I think
you
it's
going to
be a
Barry
closer game than a
17-point
spread.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here but Kevin, yeah, listen, you're talking to a lifeline. I remember listening to them on AM radio when I was 6 years old, and I'm 42. So you're not telling me anything. I'm an Aggie fan, die hard, live and die. But I'm telling you right now, if you look at it objectively, look how it took overtime to beat that Tennessee team that they were up on. And the reason that they lost that lead was because of their piss poor tackling. And if you can't tackle Tennessee, trust me, they are going to struggle to control that Alabama offense. Now, that's all I'm going to say. But before you go, I need you to do me a favor, because we got a text in that says, is that Peyton Manning on the phone? And you do sound like Peyton Manning. So I just need you to do one thing for me. Just say, Nationwide is on your side. Just say that real quick.
Nationwide is on your side.
Peyton Manning, everybody.
That's pretty solid.
Good job, Kevin. Thanks for the call, bud.
Yeah, all he had to do is say the cupcakes are ready, and we would be right there.
That's hilarious.
I will say this, too. Yeah, and Omaha, very good.
He did sound like Peyton, though.
And I will say this. I've been the guy that's been saying how the Aggies are good, right? And Barry, the Aggie fan, has said that they are not. But not as a fool's goal. Okay,
I'll get
you. You're right. You just said
no.
You said it was you through based on your
damn
lifelong
it,
experiences that it was going to come back to bite. They were going to falter down the stretch.
I'm not saying the Aggies are not
a good
football team.
I don't want to say the wrong thing.
They're notorious for losing big games. That's what
I've
always
said. First of all, if the Aggies are down like 17 or 20 points on Saturday, that's when I start tweeting Barry. Second of all,
of course,
because that's what he said he lived at. But more importantly, if the Aggies somehow upset Alabama, it obviously goes way against what I said about the SEC being down, but I would love to see that happen. I just think that Alabama's just in, again, one of those situations where they're just so far head and shoulders. I think it was Herb Street said last week after the games last week, if there was a way to put Alabama at one in his new top five,
mm-hmm.
and then put the rest of the team starting at like three or four,
yeah.
that's the gap right now. Because Alabama's not having close calls. There's no App States getting in the mix. There's no overtimes to Wisconsin, et cetera. They're just performing at a very high level. So it'll be interesting to see. But again, in years past, you'd have an LSU. You'd have a Florida. You'd have a Georgia. You'd have all these SEC schools fighting in the top 10, several fighting for a chance to play in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it's just kind of upside down, in my opinion.
What, the SEC?
Yes. Well, here we go again. Go ahead.
There are eight of the 14 teams ranked in the top 25.
You're talking about right now?
Yeah.
Oh, because I think I've said this before. We'll evaluate it at the end of the year. Because what I made was the prediction at the start of the year that they were down. So
yeah,
I kind of
after week one.
I think it was two. I was prognosticating, but yet I'm still answering.
That would have been like saying that that was like giving up on the Texans when they were 2-5.
No, the Texans are the worst first place team.
Last year when they started off 2-5, everyone bailed. But you have to play it out. But I mean, all you can do is
You have to play it out, Nick?
Why?
Because
I can't
play
because it's in the living room.
The game.
Okay. SEC has 8 teams in the top 25. The Big Ten has 4. The ACC has 4. So SEC 8, Big Ten 4, ACC 4. Big 12 has 3. The Pac-12 has 2. The American has 2. And then Mountain West and Mid-American have 1 each. So that is the SEC has double.
Say the top.
SEC 8, Big Ten 4, ACC 4, Big 12
3. You also have 23 teams in the SEC.
No, there's 14 teams.
That's enough.
In the SEC. So over half of the conference is in the top 25. How is that a down year? Are they the most dominant? No, I think the Big Ten is because they've got 4 teams in the top 10.
It's a down year, it's not true.
It was reactionary after a bad week one.
But they're down after what normally is, like I said, the top 10 completely saturated with SEC teams. They're not with all the big names that are big-time teams are down this year with the exception of Alabama. And I gave you, if you guys want to go back and look at the tweets, I've given you some backup behind it as well.
Yeah.
But your boy Josh Fernandez is now chiming in. So now we've got the regulars. Josh already has a recliner, and he's brought pizza.
By the way, can I just read one tweet that's giving you one text that's giving you the business?
Of course, because you love this.
I won't do it then. Fine. I'm not going to do it.
Go ahead.
Let's go to break, and then we'll come back.
J-Mark wants to know, do you think the Aggies will stay within 17? That's the spread.
The what?
Would you think the Aggies will stay within 17 of Alabama?
I think that's probably a good number.
That's why Vegas does what they do.
I think
for
I would avoid that. 17 sounds about right.
Yeah, I think it's about right in that ballpark as well. Hey,
Someone called me Gary. Gary, I
what
will
do you
send
think?
You
Joel
the
and
game
Gary
last
till
week.
4 with Nick behind the glass. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.